This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins footwear.
Imagine playing football against no defence or goalkeeper. How easy would that be? That's what it's like putting on my new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. There's nothing stopping my foot from just going in. I just step in and I'm done, with no bending down to touch my shoes. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn, so my foot slides into place. Then the heel pillow technology keeps my foot comfy and secure.
Find Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store or skechers.co.uk.
This episode of the Long Run Podcast is sponsored by Skechers.
So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the award-winning Long Run Show. And it has been well documented that we are indeed the biggest independent running podcast in various countries all across the world. And we are happy that you're tuned in tonight for this special episode on London Marathon Weekend. Top of the shop, some admin. We'd like to thank our sponsors at Skechers, which if you haven't been over to their website, see their full range of shoes and clothing. We advise you go over to skechers.co.uk and have a browse. We also would highly encourage you to go over to Start Fitness and use the 40 Runs code to get a very generous 10% off their already very reasonable price products. We need to straight off the bat address the elephant in the room, and that is that it is very quiet here tonight and very organised. And that is because a certain somebody is missing. And if you didn't already know, it is in fact Mr. Ford's birthday today. So a big shout out to the head sheriff, Fordy, who probably right now is cowboy booted up with his Stetson on watching a Western or listening to some country music, or probably just out annoying someone as per usual. Right, we have a ridiculously packed show tonight. We are talking London. We're talking Manchester. We can catch up a bit on Brighton. We are talking about cheer stations, last minute tips for London. And of course, we have got loads of your good luck messages to read out for people doing London on Sunday. But before we get into this and we meet the awesome team, I need to tell you about a couple of events we've got coming up this very weekend. Tomorrow, we have the 40 Runs London Marathon Shakeout Run. It's a little bit different to others, and that's what we like to do here at 40 Runs, obviously. All the influencers will, of course, be in London influencing with their shakeout runs, but we thought we'd be different. And I've teamed up with Brooks to bring you a seaside shakeout run. We are going to be down at Chalkwell Beach Park Run in Southend, not too far from London on a train, but it would definitely be different. And as always, it'd be full of so many awesome people who love to get their park run fix still. How do we get to Southend from London, Al? Best way?
Fenchurch Street is definitely one option. And I think Liverpool Street is the other, in terms of the mainline stations. But don't quote me on that.
You'll end up somewhere miles away at your park run and not at the shakeout run. But if you can get down there, that should be a great morning with Brooks. And lastly, before I finish all the admin, if you are planning on going up to see the London Marathon to cheer on Sunday, then make sure you head to our 4D cheer station. It's at mile 18 and a half up to 19. It's going to be literally off the charts with noise, fun and everything else that goes on. We're actually not even calling it a cheer station this year. It's going to be our rave station. So whether you're running or cheering, whatever you do, you've got to look out for that cheer station. It is going to be epic. Right, that's all that done. So who have we got tonight? We are welcoming back the man himself down here in the bottom, Coach Al. Hi, Al. You all right?
It's a bit weird. I think this is the first Friday of 2024 when I've not been in an airport somewhere, either going or coming to parkrun. So I'm feeling a bit discombobulated, but I'm sure I'll get through it.
I'm sure you'll survive. How about you, Jatila? How's things? You good?
I'm good. I was to say, I haven't been on in quite a while. So it was like nice to get the crew back together. I'm really well, thank you. Long week. I've got a massive work event next week. So final countdown of prep. But yeah, I'm all good.
And there is the man himself, the speed goat, the man of many words. How are you, Toby?
What? I'm all right. Well, I've been trying this thing, so I've learned about this new thing that I can do this week. And apparently, it's when you go, like, you get changed, you go at your door, and you put one leg in front of the other a bit faster than walking.
Oh, is that called running by any chance?
I'm getting into it. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting into it, apparently.
How much running have you actually done this week?
I've so far done 4 days out of five.
No way. No. I don't believe that. No way. It's a record.
I know. I think I'm on for a record break. It might be the most running I've done in a week all year.
Brilliant. So who here is doing London this weekend? Jatila?
Yeah. So excited.
I bet you are. How's the training been going?
You know what? It's been going okay up until sort of like the last bit. I think I get this every single year. I've had a bit of a knee injury over like the last 2 and a bit weeks. So I'm currently taped up. But I'm actually okay. I'm not going to dwell on it. What will be, will be. I feel confident. I'm running for Sport in Mind this year, and I've reached my target goal, which is fantastic. So yeah, I mean, you can't really complain. I'm going to be stepping on the start line for my second London, and I've raised the money that I needed and wanted to for charity. So yeah, I'm in a really good place. I'm really excited now. Oh, it's just the nerves. Like, go and thrive off the adrenaline per se.
Yeah. And Toby and Al, both of you two, do you sort of, are you getting to the point where you think you wish you were doing London, or are you just happy that you're going to be watching, volunteering, etc.?
Who's going to go first? I'll go first. It's just going to sound terrible. I'm really pleased I haven't had to do any training this year. Because I haven't done any training, I've got real no FOMO for the start line. Normally, I would be, you know, killing myself to get a last minute bib, but it's been a bit different from in that sense. But I'm quite enjoying just not having any pressure. I'm not even worrying about having any pressure. So we'll rock up at bag duty on Sunday morning, early, grab a bite to eat between, and then appear at the rave station as soon as we can. So really looking forward to that for my Sunday.
Toby, regretting it?
No, I don't think so. No, a bit like Al, really. I quite enjoyed not having to do the training for it. I haven't done much running this year, as a lot of people know anyway. So I think the fact, I'm not feeling it yet, but I think Sunday I will. When I see it on the TV and whatever, I'll go.
TV, why don't you come down to the cheer squad? You can see it for real. Don't have to watch it on the TV.
Now, there's an option.
Might have a little secret project on Sunday. You never know. So when I see it, I think but then I'll already be in the ballot for next year before then, won't I? That opens tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow? Oh, so it opens the day before the actual race?
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
No, well, make your chances. Instead of being like 1 in 3,000, it might go down to 1 in 2,700 if you don't tell anyone.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah. 570,000 odd applied last year.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can see in the comments, Mick has said, Hayden looks and sounds like he's in a really bad dub movie with the lip syncing being out. I know. We tried to go through this at the start. The sound's okay, but the camera's just delayed and I've got no idea why. So
can we ask them if the sound's okay?
Okay. Is my sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Some people might like it, some people might not.
Yeah, the vision's not so good, but can't do much about it.
I'll just go blank screen so you can't see anything. Then you won't know any difference. Be the best way. Right, before we get into our main topic and everything about London, I think we should have a look back at the last couple of weeks, because last week wasn't live. So if we go back the week before that, we had Brighton Marathon. And it was one of those things. I know on the podcast before that, everyone was almost not slagging it off, but no one seemed interested in it. But then I was watching the social media and everything that went on. And I started thinking, it actually looked, I don't know if they've improved it or what, but there wasn't so much FOMO. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but it definitely looked a lot better. Have you done it? Anyone else done it here, Brighton?
I haven't done Brighton. I did see a lot more hype on it around it this year. So I don't know if it's just because I was seeing it more, because I have no intention of even signing up for Brighton, really. It's not really been on one that's been on my radar, but I did see a lot more, just a lot more going on around it this year. I don't know if that's just because it was like one of the first big ones out of this sort of spring season where it's like getting the FOMO real quick, but no, it seemed great.
I wonder if it is because obviously a London Marathon events have taken it over. I wonder if that has made that difference, Al. What do you reckon?
Well, just trying to think. I did it in 2022, which I think was that the last year that the last company did it? Or was that the first year London Marathon events did it?
I think it feels different.
Obviously, they had that little blip when they managed to get the course markings wrong and everyone ran for about 4 days rather than 26.2. And I guess that kind of left a little bit of a bitter taste in people's memories, and it's probably taken a little while for them to overcome that. But I think London Marathon events getting involved seems to have upped the professionalism of it. It is a slightly different course now. So again, all that worry about running around a power station has gone. I never found the power station that bad, to be honest. But I think just Brighton has a good vibe. I really enjoyed doing the half. That brings out the crowds. And I've done Manchester. I would always vote Brighton over Manchester. But again, haven't done the new Manchester course. So I know that's a bit more city centre as well. But yeah, Brighton ticks a lot of boxes for me, definitely.
Yeah, look good. Toby, what would you prefer? Yeah, I don't know if you've done any of them, but if you had to go and pick one next year, Brighton or Manchester?
Oh, that's a tough one, I think. I think I'd probably go Manchester, but I think it's just because I have previously entered, but I've never actually got around to doing it. So I kind of actually want to go and do it.
It would make sense.
Yeah, well, you know, it might do. I keep on paying. Yeah, I don't know why I keep on paying, not going to these things. but yeah, I reckon I'd go Manchester. But I'd say the report's definitely coming out of Brighton this year. And you say, I think this is the second year London Marathon events have done it, haven't they? So I think they got their, I think they kind of had a last minute thing last year where they were put in not too long before it started. So this year they really got a handle on it. So yeah, I think I would give it a go.
Yeah, Manchester did look good, I must say. To be fair, the it's a bit self-advertiser, but the old 40 run shakeout looked absolutely awesome the day before. The amount of people there, that was absolutely unbelievable to see. I know the weather was awful, but all the people that turned up there, that looked absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Fucked. You did such a great, your video that you put on the Facebook group of everybody crossing the line as well. It was just amazing. It was so good.
Do you know what? That was harder than probably running the marathon. I was there at home. I started watching the live feed. And then, you know what it's like? It's a Sunday and I didn't have intentions of watching the whole thing. And I started watching it and then it went on and on. And there was another hour gone. By the time I knew it, it was like 4 o'clock and the whole day had gone. Every time I saw someone, especially at 40, I was like, oh, let's film these crossing the line. Then I realized that night I had so many clips. I just thought, what am I going to do with these? Oh no, let's just put them all together and just get as many people. But it actually was, I like the fact that it did show people crossing finish lines. You don't see that often, and you can see in a lot of people's face. A few people come through, they hadn't done anything. But some people you come through, you could tell they've given it their all. And I think sometimes that emotion thing is good to see. We all know that these marathons are so emotional, you know, and just, I know Al's one of the worst ones to talk about emotion with these runners and races. It really hits him hard, but
I normally start crying at about mile 2. I just kind of can't keep it in. It's 24 plus miles of wetness. That's a bit rude.
It is tough. But no, I was quite impressed with the whole Manchester thing. I didn't think the course, if I'm honest, looked particularly great. It looked a little bit Great North Run-ish with like going up a dual carriageway at points when I saw. But
was it new this year? What did they change that was different to previous? Was it, or is it the same?
from memory, I think there's a bit more city centre. So it starts, I think there's a bit more running in the city centre at the start of the race. There's still stretches when you're out towards Altrincham, which I think are quite quiet. And I think that gets people when you're just in need of that lift. Whereas London, you're coming into the embankment. You've still got that kind of vastness of cornfields that can kind of destroy people mentally. But the finish is good, and I think the organisation's good because they use Old Trafford. But, you know, Hayden's point is, yeah, quite a big chunk of it's on the A57. And, you know, unless you like ticking off the A roads, then there's not a lot to see. But, you know,
yeah, I agree. I think
you are limited by geography. You know, you want the Manchester Marathon, it kind of needs to be in Manchester, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Kim's just saying there, it was just too many hills and defo not flat. I remember a few little, like, sort of, it's more like that A road, it was like a long, it felt like it looked flat, but you knew you were going up. You knew, like, you could just feel it in your legs. Yeah, I can remember little bits and pieces of it. But to be honest, it was mainly just roads, lots and lots of roads running through villages and things like that. So, like, big roads.
I think Manchester now has become, I think it's the second biggest marathon in the UK now. So they've done well to sort of build that up. Not that I suppose they weren't that far behind before, but it's become like sort of established now, the second biggest marathon. And so that leads us on to the question. So next year it is confirmed, it is exactly the same day as London. So do we think this is a bit of a disaster from then, or is it a good marketing ploy? Or is it clever or just unfortunate coincidence? What's everyone's thoughts on this? My initial thought, if I'm honest, is that it's quite clever. They push people into London. They say, go into the London ballot. Apply for Manchester first and we offer you a place. You can apply for London as well. If you get into London, we'll refund you your money. But if you don't, you're running Manchester. For me personally, I think it's quite clever having both on the same day. But what are you thinking, Al?
I don't know. I've kind of got mixed views. There's a lot of clubs that support London from all over the UK, either from volunteering, getting down and doing the cheer squads. So I don't know whether it'll dissipate some of that vibe across two, or whether it'll just bring the whole running community together and go, this is our, you know, this is the UK marathon day today, whether you're in the south and can run London, or whether you're in Manchester doing Manchester. But I genuinely don't know. You know, I fear that it will kind of just distract. London is always going to be London. Manchester might be a distraction that kind of people forget about, but it's hard to nail. It'd be interesting to see how hard they have to sell the Manchester Marathon in terms of when early bird finishes and when ticket sales, you know, starts ramping up versus what they've done previously. So we'll just have to keep an eye on the marketing and see if we can get any clues from how hard they're having to push it.
I wonder how many people would really want to do sort of Manchester and London. I know there's a few people in the 40 community that obviously are doing both of them. I know Nettie is. I wonder how many people would be a bit gutted because they'd like to do both of them, or are they just nutty people that want to do two marathons 2 weeks apart?
I think they're just crazy, aren't they? I mean, a lot of people do it though. Like it's quite, like when you're in that frame, you finished a marathon and you feel good to go. If you're ready to just go around and enjoy the atmosphere and go around and tackle the streets, like we all know that the streets are just incredible, like it's more of a lot of people say it's just my long recovery run, and I think people like you drive me mad because I'm so
it's a difficult one. I'm not sure which way, as Al said, it's difficult. We won't know until next year whether it's a success doing it this way and it's going to help people out. I think the only criticism I can find is if you're a couple and you both run and one almost gets into London and one doesn't, or your family wants to go and see a friend that's got into London, but you really want to run Manchester Marathon and you can't go and support. I think you're going to get a little bit of issues there, but let us know in the comments anyway, anyone who ran Manchester last week and is running London this week, and would you be gutted if they're both on the same day?
Well, Mr. Pete's already said they sold 10,000 entries, so they're obviously doing something right. That is true. Yeah. Good luck.
How many people are at Manchester, do you know?
Don't know.
Oh, I'm not sure, actually.
Wow, 10,000, really. Fair play. So they're obviously doing something right. So Al, and last week as well, we have people up in Manchester and everywhere else. You was down in Exeter.
I always like to do things a bit differently. Yeah.
Obviously. How was that?
I'm not one for blue in the crowds. How was it? Well, it was a bit frantic because we didn't know if we'd actually get a park run in. I don't know if anyone's been following the story of Exmouth Park Run, but they have had landslides, high tides. Basically, we were on a fourth course last week, but it wasn't confirmed until the week before that they could even continue to put on park run. So we've had our tickets booked since Christmas to go on a bus and then get on a train and then get on another bus and then stand in Bristol for 2 hours and then get on another bus and then get to Exmouth. But we didn't know if we'd actually make it. We did. Well, you've run Exmouth, so you kind of know what the main course is like. This was described as 3 pints of cider and 2 ice creams. So you're running up and down and you are in effect doing laps. So you go out towards the brewery 3 times, you come back to the ice cream hut 2 times, and then you finish off. But it was a bit crowded in places, but it was a really good adventure because we managed to pull in, I think, 20-odd baldies from around the southwest. So it was a really good kind of, you know, fun morning to be had. And some of those were then kind of going off and doing crazy things like running Manchester and stuff. But, yeah, it was good to get down there and see a bit different bit of the Fordy Runs running community. So really enjoyed it, but paid the price on the way back. On the train, yeah.
I can imagine. I was going to say 3 pints of cider and 2 ice creams.
You didn't have to have those. They were optional. But they were
it sounds like Wilco's ideal park run, I reckon.
Yeah, we should send him down there, shouldn't we, and actually do that. 3 pints and 2 ice creams and then see what your time is.
Right, tonight, a big part of tonight is us giving you new shout-outs for this London Marathon. We're going to do it over the course of the evening. So we're going to start now with Jatilla. She's got a few of them here to shout out to you. Anyone else who in the comments, make sure you get them good luck wishes in and we'll try and read them out as we go along as well. So Jatilla, what do we have?
Amazing. So I'm actually going to kick off with one that's not on our emails at the moment, but I've already seen him in the comments this evening. So this shout out comes from our very own Mr. Slater, who goes and runs an incredible PB last week. So Ben, if you're listening, congratulations, well done. But this shout out is from him. And Ben has said, can you please give a shout out to Gavin Braden? He had injuries in the run up to London, but he's back up and running. Ben met him at Chicago and this is his second major, which he will smash. But lots of luck, and the Rave Station will be looking after Jen. So Gavin, your wife is in fantastic hands with the Rave Squad, and good luck for London. It's always really, really tough as you sort of try and pick up some of these sort of injuries along the way, but you're on the start line and you're going to smash it. So best of luck to you, Gavin. And then we'll move on to the ones that we've had through, which goes to, this is from Adam. So Adam, you are a regular listener. So welcome, Adam Drew. He said, can I get a shout out to Darren Bray, Charles Stevens, Grant Gerard, and Malwina Bilicia? If I've got that surname wrong, I do apologise, please. Get out there and love the day. You're all heroes. Thank you for that, Adam. And then Mark Sloan, he has emailed in and said, can you give Winks Ma a massive shout out as she's running London Marathon this Sunday? And Alyssa Banana, she has sent a message in to say to my dearest friend, Julia Cielo, champion, enjoy every mile, run relaxed and make the most of London Marathon unforgettable. You've got this. Lots of love, Alyssa Banana. That's lovely. Thank you for that, Alicia. And then I will do, we've got quite a few actually, I'll do 2 more. From Siobhan Hagen, thank you for getting in touch. She said, can I have a huge shout out to Michelle Bryan, Katie Fox, Rachel Tomsett and Michelle Bryce, who are all running their first ever marathon at London. The love and support they've all shown me and each other during training is truly something wonderful, a sacred bond for life. Amazing, that's lovely. And then we will take a little break after this one, but Mark Perry, he has said a good luck to Andy Parker and Katrina Ellen from all the Exeter Satellite Gang. So there's a lot, guys. Well done. These are all fantastic. First marathons in there, second marathons in there, general support, shout outs to the satellite groups. Just goes to show just how important sort of this community is when you're coming up to the lead up to these big races. Absolutely smash it. And we're going to be reading some more of these as we move through the show, everyone. So pop your comments in. We're still going to be trying to read all of these out before the end of the show. So yes, and breathe.
Do you know what? Just from that, I'll just pick something up on that. having your very first marathon ever and you do London Marathon, that's hard to beat. I think the problem with that is you go right in at the top and to run after that. What was your first marathon, Shatila?
Mine was London.
Wow. Yeah,
I know. So I'm back to where it all began.
Brilliant. Toby, what was your first?
I'm trying to think. I should really know this, shouldn't I?
Dawny?
It might have been Dawny, yeah. I mean, it was...
Not
yeah,
that Dawny.
That COVID. One. I think my first match was Virtual London.
Yeah.
Technically. That was my actual first marathon out of the thing was Dawny. But that was an interesting one. We won't talk about that one.
Al, what was yours?
Berlin. So I took it abroad.
Oh, wow.
Abroad. Yeah.
That's brave.
Where's Berlin?
Well, I was at the time, I was training with my mate Thomas, who is from Germany. Right. So it just seemed like a good idea at the time. You think, you know, you go abroad, you know, you've got someone that understands the language, someone that understands the culture. I couldn't have been further from the truth. We landed in Germany, in Berlin, and we got lost on the tube. He speaks fluent German. He lived there for most of his life. And we got escorted to the expo by this little kind of German housewife that clearly took pity on us and just marched us across town to the Tempelhof to go and collect our bibs. And that kind of just sums up the kind of the weekend. But it's your first marathon, so you've got nothing to compare it against. So, you know, it will always stand out as an amazing day for that reason alone.
But that's the thing, isn't it? If you do one of these big, massive ones, world majors, like, for example, London or even Berlin, sort of where do you go from that? But after that, it's going to be difficult to recreate sort of that atmosphere. You put yourself through that and think, I wouldn't mind doing that again. And you turn up somewhere like Dawny and you think, where's the crowds? Where's the cheer stations? Where's the noise?
This is yeah. No, it does make a difference. And you learn that the Berlin Marathon does not finish at the Brandenburg Gate.
Correct.
So you have to go a little bit more.
It's a bit like the Great North Run when you get down the bottom toe, isn't it? And you finish there and you've got at least a mile to go. You're like, and you start putting your foot down. You're like, God.
Every year you do the same thing as well. You go, I know everyone says it's not quite, it's just a bit further, in it, but every year you forget quite how far it is.
And every year you forget how fast you go down that hill just before. You have to control yourself.
Yeah, before you go straight into the hay bales. Yeah. I want to go behind Chris next summer and actually push.
You can use
help him into him.
That's a good idea. I'll be behind you as well. Just stack him up, push him up. Al, what are we looking like at the questions? Looks like we've got loads of questions and comments here tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of comments. Obviously, lots of people wishing others luck. So just at the top of the screen, Darren Burrows is wishing Lauren, Sarah and John from the Camberley Satellite. Dawn is wishing everyone that's running from the Global Running Crew good luck. I know watching the posts in that group today, I think there's probably a dozen or so from the Global Running Crew out on Sunday morning. Who else have we got? We've had some shout outs from New York, from Turkey, Atlanta. So yeah, the comments are coming in from all over the world because we are the centre of attention for the next 48 hours as far as the running community is concerned.
Yeah, there's definitely a sort of buzz around the whole London thing. I think it's just a fact of the 3 weekends in a row. These last 3 weekends, running's everywhere. Even if I know people don't pick up newspapers anymore, but I had one on the tube the other day. I looked at it. There's at least 3 or 4 articles all about running. At the moment, running is just, it's just there. And it's almost like after this weekend, maybe it'll drop off for a while.
Not everyone's a fan. I don't know if any of you guys are fans of Chris Evans on Virgin Radio, but he has in effect, a fan club on Facebook. And it's split his fans right down the middle. You know, if you're a runner, you've loved this week because all the chat on his breakfast show has been about running. If you're not a runner, people have been kind of going, can we just get away from this? This is kind of something, you know, we're here to kind of be entertained, not to listen about pace and cadence and everything else that comes with it. So yeah, it does feel like it's a good place to be, but not everyone signs up to
our
enthusiasm. We need to work on those ones, don't we?
Definitely. It's that same old thing when you go to, myself, I'm lucky because obviously my wife runs as well. One, her best friend runs as well, Jamie. So when we go out, there's us three, and then her husband comes along and we start talking. And I just see him, his head just goes down and he goes quiet. And I feel sorry for him. I'm like, this is bad.
Get him to the bar. Get the drinks in.
I've noticed over the last couple of years, he stopped coming out with us. So I think that's a bit of a sign. Still, also, I think we should reflect on, before we go on to our main topic, we should have a little reflection on Boston last weekend. Obviously, Boston for a lot of people is almost, you know, I know And I'm going to get told off for this, I know, because Chris keeps saying all the time, doesn't he, in the chat, we've got to get away from everything being marathon focused, which I totally agree with. I think after this podcast, we're going to stop the marathon talk for quite a while. But at the moment, everyone just seems to be doing marathons, and Boston looked, once again, absolutely awesome. I know we had Helen from a 40 runner. She was out there on her own. She gave it a real good go. But I think me and Jatilla were there last year and it was raining. This year, did you see the heat this year?
I don't know what I would have preferred, you know, H, because I was watching that. Hopefully no one from work's listening. I literally sat here in front of my laptop and did absolutely nothing. Oh. But yeah, I can't think. I know I said how much I hated the experience from like the weather and the situation and the course and stuff. But I don't know if I'd have preferred that or what they were going through on Monday. I'm really not sure because it looked hard. Mm. It looked really hard.
Yeah. So what do you prefer, rain or sun?
I think I might have gone for the rain.
I think I would have stuck with the rain, you know.
Al? If you haven't trained in the sun as well, it's a big, it's a big jump.
Yeah, I think Toby's got a really good point. You know, if you've come over from the UK, you've come out of a winter training session, and therefore you're not acclimatised to running in those warmer conditions. But it seemed that it was the sudden warm snap, even on race day. So if you've gone out and you've kind of mentally set yourself to run, you know, at 12 or 13 degrees, and then suddenly it's 23 degrees, your body will tell you that it's a lot harder to do. And then you're trying to mentally adjust, physically adjust, and you know, come up with a different race plan. That all takes its toll. So a lot of the athletes I was tracking, you could see that as that heat was rising, their paces were dropping kind of literally in proportion to how hot it was getting, because it was probably something that we weren't expecting on race day.
We had it in Prague, didn't we, really, a couple of weeks ago.
Similar.
And someone was saying, I said, this is really hot. It's hard to run a half marathon like this. Is it always like this? Someone said, no, last year. So to put it in perspective, I think it hit 26 or 27 degrees. And they said last year, exactly the same weekend, it was -2.
Yeah.
How do you train for that?
No, you can't. You can't predict that, can you? Therefore, your training can't properly reflect it. So it's not quite a lottery, but it just means you've got to be, you know, ready for a plan B and a plan C. And I think Helen nailed that. You know, sounds like she did it nearly to perfection.
It's hard, isn't it? It's the same with every event, really, isn't it? All of them. So, I mean, London's, we all know the years where it's been absolutely baking. And then I think this year, actually looking really good, looking sort of 11, 12 degrees, I think.
Yeah, it looks perfect.
The last chance, it looks really, like, really good.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Conditions, no real rain. But you say that could be 5 degrees or it could be 20 degrees. You've just got to take the luck, haven't you?
They recently had New York half as well. Like they had a freak hot day. So it was like a freak hot day a couple of days before I went. I was going for work related reasons. It was like they were pushing low but still warm 20s. But then the event, it was pouring with rain. It's like the same with Boston. I think, H, when you got there, you had that really freak hot day. Thinking, oh God, is this going to be the case on Monday? But yeah, it really is touch and go. Like if you've trained in this period in the winter, you're just not really prepared for it. Whereas if you've got that end of summer race, you can probably cope with that, the heat. Well, not say cope, but you know what to expect. And if it was to rain. So it's a difficult one with it, the April dates.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, as Al said before, you mentioned about if you're coming from the UK to any other races, you're not acclimatised to any heat. That's because it's so bloody miserable, the weather here. It rains all the time. It's windy. At the moment, the day before yesterday, I looked outside and it was sunshine. I felt I went and made a cup of tea, come out, and there was hailstones. Honestly, what is that about? It's absolutely ridiculous. But I just feel this whole year, the weather has been absolutely crap. It's been horrible. But anyway, so this is London Marathon Weekend, and tonight we are talking. I'm going to give you a few sort of last-minute tips, a few last-minute things that you should be doing. A few ideas if you want to adopt them before Sunday. I'm sure you've got it all in hand, but Mr. Ford has given me a list of things he thinks are five great last-minute tips, and we're going to discuss them. So the first one is to make sure you have all your gear ready. Lay out your running clothes, shoes, and any accessories the night before to avoid any of that last-minute stress. Al, agree?
Well, you can't take part in the flat lays if you don't, so it's just Insta requires it. I thought it was just I thought it was in the terms and conditions of London Marathon event, but you know, you have to do it. No, you want to take out as much stress as possible on Marathon Day. We've kind of all been there when we've forgotten something, you know, so check it, double-check it, take a picture, put it on Instagram, ask people, have I forgotten everything? They'll tell you if you've forgotten something. They'll probably say, how many gels are you taking?
Yeah.
Because you normally get that. How many gels are you taking? Not enough, probably. But, yeah, very sensible advice.
Toby, you have everything all laid out the night before, always? I can't imagine you do. I've got a bad feeling about the answer to this one.
I wouldn't say laid out, but I do check it, because then I realise that, well, I haven't actually washed, and then that gives me time to go and wash it. Running stuff,
at least that means you're not running in anything new, does it, Toby, if it's still in the dirty washing pile?
Well, exactly. I've worn it at least once, or just haven't, yeah, mate, out the packet. You never know.
Chatilla?
I don't think I've ever done a flat lay. Maybe I'll do one this time, but I do get my kit all out and fold it up just and have it out so I know that it's there and I know what I'm putting on in the morning and be organised with the bag. So yeah, definitely. It just takes out that tiny little bit of like morning stress. In the morning, I want to get up, I want to focus on getting a good feed in, sort of just mentally preparing myself. I don't need to be worrying about where my shorts are, to be honest.
Just tell you can't, because you can't do anything new on race day. So you can't, you know, if you haven't done it before, you can't start.
Okay, that's very true, actually.
Practice tomorrow before the shakeout run. Do a flat lay before the shakeout run, and then you've not fallen foul of that one.
I think Chris actually, he had a good point. I'm not sure if it was on Bite Size on Monday. And he said, obviously, if you're traveling to these events, obviously, there's people coming down from all over the UK and all over the world to London, and you're staying in hotels. I think it's quite good what he said. The first day you get there, if you get your kit out, almost hang it up and put it to one side. So if you have forgotten something or something's missing, at least you've got a day or so maybe to quickly pop out to the shops and get it. I think actually it was in Prague, actually. Tony Collier from Staffs, she was over there and realised she'd left her socks at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, if she wouldn't realise that till race morning, could have been in trouble. But so, yeah, it's definitely a good idea to do that. The next one he's got on his list here is focus on your nutrition. Eat a well-balanced meal the night before the race and have a light breakfast the morning of it. Stay hydrated and avoid trying any new foods that could upset your stomach. These all sound like real like, obvious things. We know that. But sometimes when you talk about it and you hear it, someone might come up with something else. So, well, we can't ask Toby about nutrition. He's the wrong person. Chatilla, let's go with you. Night before nutrition and in the morning, what are you doing?
So night before, I know it's normally a standard. I think I say this all the time. I don't normally go for like a standard like pizza or pasta. I normally have that. I'll have that tonight. So I'm going to have a carbonara tonight just because I really struggle with like the gluten side of things. So on the Saturday, I normally have like a steak. I'll have like loads of veggies and stuff like that. And then I'll have like some like dates or something, a tiny little portion of maybe like some rice or something like that, but just something that I'm used to having in my normal diet, which I know isn't going to upset my stomach in any way. Whereas my pasta tonight, my carbonara, it's going to be filled with loads of cheese. I can't wait. I've got a burrata to go on the top. It's going to go down. And then in the morning, I normally will have like some of those really small, like toasted scotch pancakes, like the really small, thin ones with some fruit on top, banana, blueberries, and then a coffee as well with like a protein, not a protein, with a electrolytes drink, and then a banana sort of like maybe like two, 3 hours before. And then I'm good to go.
All good to go. Al, What are you looking like nutrition-wise night before?
Well, I've got my bagels out ready for the weekend because we've got a seven-hour shift on the baggage truck, so you need to fuel and hydrate for that. I suppose the piece of advice I'd give, given that lots of people are travelling to London and are staying in hotels or Airbnbs and haven't got access to their own fridge, is plan ahead. You know, make sure you have got an idea before you set off from home what you plan to eat over the next couple of days, because there's nothing worse turning up in a strange town, strange city, possibly even a strange country, and scratching your head in terms of, well, I normally have this. The rules are don't do anything different, but I don't know what, you know, what's the alternative here? So plan ahead, and if needs be, you know, fill up that bag with stuff from home so you know you've got something that you're going to be comfortable with, you know, fueling with.
Toby nodding there. I think he's going to revert back to something in Tokyo here, isn't he?
Yeah, I was about to say Tokyo. You hate
it. I don't know. All I remember in Tokyo is you walking around with a backpack full of bagels. Literally all you had. You had a suitcase full of bagels and then a backpack full of bagels.
I always take bagels with me. It's just, yeah. Even New York. New York's what, the home of bagels, but I still take them with me just in case. It's just, I think a lot of it is familiarity and you want to be confident. If you're doing the same thing all the time and it works, I just want to do the same thing again. Like Al said, last thing you want to do is get there. If I was going to New York Marathon, I got there and I couldn't get a bagel. I thought I have to have something else. I know it's stupid, but that would play on my mind. And I'd be thinking about that. And as I'm running, I'm thinking, I wonder if that would give me as much fuel as the bagel would have. And then, you know, how powerful the mind is. So it just almost throws you out. So I think it's so important to have that familiarity. Like you said, Jatila, this is what you always do, having the pasta the night before. I've never heard of people having steak the night before, but fair play.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just, I think it's because it's one of my favourite meals, to be honest. So the first with London, I was like, I just need something that I'm going to like and enjoy. And like the pasta, I've been trying to do as much carbs this whole week, you know, like I need something that's just going to be guaranteeing me a good stomach when I wake up.
I think it's important that, though, isn't it? And so it's obviously not something to do now, is that if you actually look into the research on carb loading, you need sort of, it's the week before, you need to keep on having sort of kind of little and often kind of things, but just if you just have a massive bowl the night before, it's not going to help you in any way.
So I've got Al's going to be the one that can pull up everyone on this. I know that, but I was always taught almost. So if we've got a marathon, like this week, got the marathon Sunday. So on Wednesday, I start on the Wednesday. On the Wednesday, I was told it's 7 grams per kilogram of your weight. So you end up getting about like 500 odd carbs. I need to get into my system on the Wednesday. On the Thursday and the Friday, that goes up to 9 grams per kilogram of weight. And it is hard. And do you know what? I do feel really bloated. I do feel a little bit sick sometimes. It really is pushing it and stuffing myself with this crap, to be honest. But I just find it's worked in the past. So I really don't want to change it. I've eaten, 12 hot cross buns in the last 2 days. They got a good high carbs in them. It's just something that works for me. And I just feel confident. But them sort of ratios, Al, what are we looking for?
Yeah, I'm not going to query those. All I'd add to that is that the little and often kind of works because you're storing your carbs in three parts of your body. So you've kind of got to get it into your muscles and your liver and other places. And the other thing that the carbs is doing is it carbs will retain water. So it actually helps your hydration strategy, which is why often people feel a bit bloated and a bit heavy. It's not just what you're consuming as solids. It's the fact that those carbs are helping to retain your liquid. So it's all part of your hydration strategy as well. So, one bowl of pasta is good, but, you know, little and often 4 to 5 days before is better.
Yeah, brilliant. That's quite good. So the next one is, again, seems quite obvious, straightforward. It's get a good night's sleep. Rest is crucial for your body to perform at its best. So you should be aiming for about 7 or 8 hours of sleep the day before race day. Jatila, is that possible?
Yep, I'm such a sleep girl. Put it this way, I go to bed most nights at like 9 o'clock. I just love to be in bed asleep early, but I think it's because I get up super early, because we were talking about it sort of just off the podcast with Toby. Like I try and do a lot of my training in the mornings, because I really struggle to do stuff in the evening, especially over like the winter period and stuff. So, yeah, I'm just so used to diving into bed and getting to sleep super, super early. And then I'm up really early. So the cycle just repeats.
Yeah. Toby, what are you like sleep pattern wise?
I don't have one of them. It just happens, doesn't it? Whenever, whatever.
What about the night before a marathon? That's got to be slight. Surely you're thinking a little bit more about that or not?
Nah, normally in a restaurant where there's a fight breaking out. Well, no, we're not going to talk about that.
That's Sabrina.
I didn't say anything.
She's not here to defend herself. Al, what are your sleep patterns like?
Normally, okay. But on race day, they are affected. And I guess this is one of the really hard ones because it's one that you can control it. You know, Tatilla has a bedtime routine that kind of works for her. But it's the brain that kind of, you know, you can switch your physical body off. But if you can't switch your mental mind off, then that's kind of what messes with you. So, you know, if you can't get a good night's sleep, just try and put the phone down. Try and kind of, you know, do something around perhaps some relaxation. Get something in your head that kind of helps you calm down. So at least you're resting. If not, if you can't get to nod off and have a good night's sleep, at least you're physically rested. But this is the really tricky one because, you know, lots of people will have, you know, match day nerves, and that will kick in 2 or 3 days beforehand. So it might not even be the night before that you're starting to struggle with sleep. It could be in the build up. So it's all that compound impact that is the problem one. But this is the tricky one for me in terms of, yeah, it's everything else to a degree you can control, but sleep is a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And obviously a lot of people say having your body rested, ready for race day is the number one priority above everything else. But as you said, some things you can't control and being excited is like, especially when it's your first marathon, that 4 or 5 weeks leading up to it, to be fair, probably the whole 16 weeks, you don't think about anything else. You're just always thinking about that race day. You're just worried about this injury, worried about that, worried about something else. You just want to get to that start line. So yeah, the night before.
I don't want to put people off, but my only marathon DNF was in Amsterdam. And if you know the stories of our nighttime escapades with our neighbours, then you kind of know that sleep deprivation was definitely a factor. Might not have been the whole factor, but sleep deprivation definitely played a part, I think, in that.
Yeah. I have no doubt at all. So next up, we've got plan your race. I'm guilty of this. This is bad. Plan your race day logistics. Know your route to the start time. Figure out transportation options to give yourself plenty of time to get there. It was only yesterday I started looking and realised I got some sort of train strikes in my area. I didn't even consider it or think about it. So for me to be reading that out, it's a bit hypocritical. But Jatilla, what you like getting to the start line? Everything, you got your route planned out for Sunday? You know what you're doing time-wise?
Well, that worries me because we don't live far apart. And I So normally I'm really good at this. Don't get me wrong. I have scanned my eyes over just like the whole logistics and start lines and stuff like that. Travel, no, I am going to do it this evening. I'm just a trusty City Mapper kind of girl. Just going to hope that City Mapper can get me to where I need to go. But no, I will. I will spend some time doing the race day admin this evening and tomorrow where I'll start to get nervous.
Toby, you normally drive to these sort of events, don't you?
Normally the London events we'll drive to. I mean, I didn't drive. When I did London, we didn't drive. I think it's a bit more complex as well because, you know, on the halves and the 10Ks and that, you can't start and finish in the same place, don't you?
Yeah.
Whereas you finish, obviously, at the Mall and start in Greenwich. So, and Greenwich is quite tricky to get to for London. It's not the easiest. There's only a couple of options of train and is it DLR and Overground, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So I got a train in last time. Yeah, I think it's literally your first train, then tube. And obviously, as in London, the marathon runner, you show your bib and you get free London Underground, don't you?
Yeah.
I think all the gates are just open. They just let you wander through. They just think if anyone's up at this time in the morning trying to get around London, off you go. Why not? But yeah, I'm normally quite good at checking a few days before.
There's a girl at my work. She was talking to me about London Marathon and she said, do you realise what freebies you can get for a run in London? It's like, yeah, I know you get the transportation. She went, no. She sent me this link. I think it was Secret London or something. There is a list of like 20 or 30 different restaurants and bars where you get free food. I think at the Hippodrome in Leicester Square, you can get like a free ribeye steak and chips if you go in there with your medal. And honestly, it was absolutely unbelievable, the stuff I was reading to get free.
I'm literally pulling it out now because someone sent me the exact same thing. Bills are doing burger and beer. Yeah. Brockwell Lido, you can go for a post swim if you like. Frank and Manka is doing pizza for the week. Lush to do like your bath bombs and things like that. The Real Greek, after parties, bagels, meat liquor. There's so much.
Do you have to have a medal or will bibs suffice? Because I'll go around scraping up any bibs.
It's a week. Yeah, a week. Some of the places are doing it for a week.
Take last year's medal and see if they don't notice the difference. Yeah.
They probably won't. So, what is the website? Share it with us, Shantina, in case anyone wants to have a look. Get some.
Yeah, feedback. I will do. What I'll do is it's a Runner's World article. So I'll send it.
All right, brilliant. Yeah, so definitely go and check that because there is a lot of freebies. And if you're going to be that brave and get this marathon done, you deserve them. So why not take advantage? Right, we'll move on to our point five, our last one. Lastly, and this is one that I think we'll all agree with as well, trust in your training. You've put in the hard work, have the confidence in your ability and go out there and enjoy the experience. How important is that, enjoying the experience, huh?
Well, it should be the one and only thing you take from the race is just having a good day, you know. We've talked a lot about how to manage some of those anxieties about all the fears and expectations you may have built up in your head over the 16 weeks. And it is a cliche to say the run is your lap of honour. But it goes, you know, however long you're out on the course, that race is over in a flash. Mm. And then you're kind of going, really? Did I do that? You know, I don't remember running here and I don't remember there and I don't remember the crowd. So you kind of just got to try and lift your head and kind of just soak up the atmosphere. I was listening to a podcast this morning and the chap was saying about London and he's saying, you've just got to be, you know, you've got to express that gratitude for being there because, first of all, millions of us didn't get a ballot and actually even more millions of us are not physically able to be able to get to race day and start it. So, you know, be grateful that you're there and just use that to kind of really take in the experience. You might not get another go. You might not want another go. So, you know, take it all in.
It's not worth me asking Toby about trusting the training. So we'll go to you, Jatilla. Is that your biggest thing? You've got to think to yourself, you've done the training. It's been a good block. So don't fear anything. You know, you've done the training. Trust in yourself. You've got the ability. You can do it.
Yeah, I feel like with mine, you're always going to think that you've had some sort of a niggle or some sort of paranoia or maranoia, should I say. So it's always something that keeps coming up. But I'm a firm, over the last sort of like week or so, I've been like, you know what? I have actually put in a hard graft, you know, like I end up getting quite paranoid. I end up going back through my training and I keep doing this. So I need to stop doing it just to see like, oh, actually, yeah. Okay. I have done the work just because I've been injured the last like 2 weeks. There's still 14 weeks, which I've really tried to put my all into. So, yeah, you've got to trust the process. You have. And I think it also helps being a little bit nervous when you're on the start line anyway, because the adrenaline, it really does start the second you get there. So, yeah, a bit of both.
I think a lot of it as well, people underestimate on the day. So maybe 3 weeks ago, people, you're thinking to yourself, I can't hit that sort of pace. How am I ever going to be able to do this? As you said, you've got to trust, and that's what you train for. And that whole taper experience, honestly, having them 3 weeks or 2 weeks, you realize it really, really does help. Carb loading, it really does help. Resting the night before, doing all these things you haven't done as much leading up to your long runs. So when you've done these long runs and you thought, that's a little bit tough, I don't know if I can keep doing that. You've got all these added extras on top of what you've done before, as well as the number one thing, in my opinion, as you said, Jatilla, that adrenaline, that being at the event, that race day feeling, I think that elevates things and it gives you that extra oomph, that extra bit of pace. So, you know, I think that trusting your training is absolutely, absolutely vital. So, Jatilla, have we got any more good luck messages for people still to read out?
We have indeed. So I will kick us back off. Can't believe we've got 10 minutes left. I've just seen that and I was like, wow, it's gone so quick. So this one is coming in from Neil Spencer. So his wife, Yvonne Spencer, is running the London Marathon on Sunday and she's raising money for Parkinson's UK. It'd be great if we could give her a shout out. Here you go, Yvonne. Best of luck on Sunday. You're going to do amazing. You've done all the hard work. You've raised money for a fantastic charity. Well done. It's really difficult, obviously, I think, for everyone when you're sort of raising money whilst training. So you've absolutely smashed that. So whatever you do on Sunday, just know that you've done, you're a great asset. And then moving on to John. So we've got some good luck messages for the 40 Runs London Satellite members. So Sue Flynn, our inspirational run leader and absolute legend running back-to-back marathons after Manchester last week. So when we were talking about doing the double there, Sue Flynn is stepping on that line for London. So good luck, Sue. And well done on Manchester as well. And then Gemma Alice Stevenson, our Paris marathon hero, looking to put down another solid time. Best of luck, Gemma. Speaking of the Paris, actually, Hayden, guess what I did?
Not don't say you ended for Paris next year.
No, I've moved.
No.
I know.
So for anyone who's listening to this as a podcast, they won't realise. Jatila, tell us what shoes you have just bought yourself.
I have just got the ASICS Metaspeed Sky Paris, and I love them.
And you're wearing them Sunday?
Pardon? And I'm wearing these on Sunday.
How new are they?
Huh?
How new are they? These?
When did I get them? About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, ow, is that brave?
No, I think that's okay. They've had about, 30-ish miles in them.
Have you done a long run in them?
Yeah.
What it's going to feel like 2 hours?
Quite a long run. Well, I say long run. I've done, 14 miles in them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that'd be good. I just saw that. So I was like, whilst they're here, I'll show you. yes, good luck, Gemma, as well. And then moving on to the next one, we've got Caroline Higg adding another world major star to her growing collection. That's very impressive.
Awesome.
John Hillier is making his London Marathon debut, looking to smash his previous PB following a great training block. So I love that, making his London debut and going to smash it. So good luck, John. We also need to hear follow-ups from these as well after, because I would love to hear how you all get on. And honorary London member Con Burdekin, who suffered a nasty ankle injury during his training but has vowed to carry on and promised not to race, but we all know he's a speed merchant and will put in a good shift.
Good luck, Con Burdekin.
Good luck. Just be careful, obviously, on that ankle. I'm sure you're doing all the tips and tricks to make sure you can get over that start line and finish line. And then we've actually still got a few more, two more to go. Loretta has said a shout out to herself. She is 53, running her first marathon, and says she is nowhere near enough. Just take in all of the atmosphere. I think we always say it with London when we've spoken on this before. The crowds are just incredible. There is so much going on for miles and miles on end. Just really use the crowds to pull you through. You've done a lot of work. You put in the grind. Just enjoy. I think that's one thing that we always take around. London isn't one of those places where you want to go out and smash a PB. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's people that will and will do it in style. But it's one of those ones that it's a world major. It's in London. You're on that start line, one of many minimal people that will get to that start line. So just enjoy and embrace it. So best of luck, Loretta. And then lastly, we've got Alison Murray. She has sent a message in saying her husband, Joe Murray, a 40 who is running for the Teenage Cancer Trust after 15 years of ballot entries, he's finally got his big day and he is super excited. 15 years,
and he's still persistent. That is brilliant. I know exactly who he is as well. So yeah, wishing you all the best for Sunday. I love seeing all them sort of messages. There is a few in the things. We've got all the best to Sarah Pointer, Lauren Quelch, and John. You'll smash it from Camberley. Your Camberley satellite leader, Shireen. There's people saying, so jealous of you. What's this? I'm running as a ninja. Please keep an eye out for me.
Wow.
Fantastic. Hoping to go for another sub 250, the same as Manchester last week. Wow. How do these people do it? But Al, we got any other more questions before we sign off?
No, there's a hint and tip that I think, you know, I think I know what they mean, but it's just caught my attention from an anonymous Facebook user. They're suggesting to go fishing in the last 3 miles. I don't think they mean take your tackle and rock up on the embankment and see what you can catch some Thames salmon. I think what they mean is, you know, when it's starting to hurt, get that focus, find someone in the distance and just try and hang on to them and then slowly reel them in over whatever time you've got left and just have that kind of thought in your mind that helps you when probably the rest of your body is saying, I've had enough now. I don't really want to do anymore. Do I need to do anymore? You know, so I've done 23. That's enough. So whoever that was, good little tip. I do use that at times as well. We'll add that into the mix. That's the added value you get from this show.
Brilliant.
That's great. Just start hunting people down for the last 3 miles. I love it. Make it into a bit of a game, I guess.
A bit like Squid Games.
Yeah.
Start taking people out. That would make it fun. So we need to, before we sign off for the night, just to remind you all that tomorrow, if you want to come along to our 4D London Shakeout Run that isn't actually in London, but we're doing it for the London Marathon. It is going to be at Chalkwell Park Run in Southend. You are all welcome. It's going to be fantastic. Please give a massive shout out as well to all the 40 Runs running community volunteers. I know Al's volunteering this weekend. Not only are they up there Sunday, giving up their day and helping out all the people, keeping them calm. They do such a great job. Big team of them tomorrow are there for the mini marathon as well, giving up their whole weekend. Special thanks goes out to Mel House because I know she's organised all of that. Absolutely awesome giving up your weekend to help other people out. And without you guys, we all know, literally, I know we say it all the time, but these events just wouldn't happen without the volunteers. So everyone is volunteering. A massive, massive thank you. And if you see a 40 volunteer, give them a shout. They're on the buses, are you, Al, at the start, the baggage?
The official club volunteers are on baggage, truck 33, 34 at Blackheath. But I know a lot of other 40s have kind of signed up through the portal as individuals. So I think we will literally be scattered across the course and across the different elements of volunteering. So trouble is we'll all be wearing the official pink and purple, so we won't necessarily be able to kind of, you know, declare our 40-ness on the day. But you'll hear us if you can't see us, definitely.
Definitely. We've got, just for, as a comment there, my 54th marathon in a row. Wow. That, 54 marathons is something special, but in a row what? Every week?
Yeah, in a row, I need more.
That can't be 54 Londons. Let us know whoever that was. Also, need to say to you as well, anyone who's running London, I know I said it at the start, but this is really important. When you get to 18 and a half miles, I think it's between 18 and 19 miles, keep left. As you come round Herring Quay and you're up by the Canary Wharf, you are going to see our cheer station there and it is going to be loud, really loud. We have got party poppers and string and music and I think we've got sweets and oranges.
Well, I've got gels left over from last year that I never got to use. So some lucky recipient can have my leftover gels from last year.
There's a story behind that one. There's definitely a story behind that one. But yeah, make sure you stay left and you give the 40 cheer station a good cheer because they're going to give it back to you. They're going to give it back to you hard. And at that point, that's when you really need it. You'll leave that station. I know you have a big smile on your face. It'd be brilliant. But now I just need to say thank you. Also, actually, the chairman of the club, Papa 40, and the club secretary, Mama 40, they are both going to be out cheering us on. They are at Narrow Street. They're going to be on your left-hand side. So if you're running, go there. Make sure you give them a wave. They're going to be there as they are every year cheering us all on. And they are the absolute epitome of 40 runs. They are right there at the top of the club chairman and secretary. Such lovely people, Melvin and Linda. Be great to give them a cheer as you go by as well, as they will you. So all that's left to say is thanks all for tuning in live, as well as listening to this podcast. You can download it from all your favourite podcast providers like Spotify and Apple. Take it with you in the long run, or you could even listen to this. Well, someone might be listening to this as they're going along the course, London Marathon right now. So whatever point you're at, as Al said earlier, get that head up, have a look around, enjoy yourself. If you are listening to me right now and you see me at the same time, make sure you give me a shout out because that will be really special. But the chances...
Don't forget,
people really
don't forget Chris's motivational. He's on his 20-minute motivational.
This is true. So when you, if before you go, if you want to download it, because the reception might not be too good up at 20 miles, but Chris has recorded a 20-minute motivational speech for you, just something to listen to when you get to 20 miles and things are getting tough. If you want to block out everything else, whack on your headphones, put on the 20-minute speech and just listen to him for 20 minutes. At the end of 20 minutes, you might hate him even more. By the end of 20 minutes, that might be 2 or 3 miles gone past and you'll be well on your way. As Al said earlier, that 23 miles with just 3 miles to go. So yeah, head over and give that a download before you go. And don't forget also to head over to the reviews and give us a review of what you think of the Long Run Show and how we are doing. It's the only way we get to move up the charts. The only way we get to push this podcast out to so many people by you giving us good reviews and sharing it with everyone. We are back next week live at 7 o'clock. I've got no idea who's on. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the schedule, but it won't be me. I am going out to Madrid for a half marathon the week after London. Awesome. So that will be interesting. But anyway, so tune back in next week, 7 o'clock. We are live and Ford himself, he will be back in the driving seat. So until then, keep running. And if you're doing London, I wish you all the luck in the world and hopefully we will get to see you. So from all of us, wish you all the best. Good night.
Good luck, everyone.
Thank you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.